the Lately in PHP podcast. I'm Manuel Lemos, as always, the regular host of the podcast. Today we are going to have a special episode, special for several reasons. Not only because today on the day of recording is the birthday of the PHP Classes site, but also because we have here a special guest, Gustavo Lopes. A country fellow of mine. I did not know Gustavo, but since he has been participating in the PHP Core somehow, I decided to invite him because of an article that I recently published in PHP Core site regarding PHP 5.4 optimizations. But first, let me welcome Gustavo. Hello, Gustavo. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm fine.
Well, it's great to have you here for several reasons. As I mentioned, there was an article in the PHP Classes site, basically an article that mentioned some PHP 5.4 optimizations. And, one thing that I wanted to comment and discuss with you is about the main topic of this article. As I said, PHP 5.4 optimizations, not only specifically one that I mentioned in the article, but I learned about this optimization by watching a thread in the PHP internals list on which you participated and gave an interesting contribution by clarifying what exactly happened because another developer, also named Rasmus, which is not Rasmus Lerdorf, the creator, it's Rasmus Schulz, mentioned something that he noticed regarding an apparent performance improvement in PHP 5.4, which you happen to explain. But before we move there, I would like you to talk a little bit about yourself and specifically what has been your involvement with the PHP world. And I think it would be interesting to start from there, because from what I understood, your background is not exactly computer science. Can you tell a bit more talking about what you do, where you live, how have you reached to the PHP world?
I studied in Lisbon, as I mentioned, not computer science. I studied biomedical engineering, but developed an interest in this industry, and eventually I decided to pursue a professional career in this industry. I'm currently living in the Netherlands, in Utrecht, since December. My involvement with PHP, I started learning PHP and doing some PHP programming. I don't remember exactly when, probably around 2004, 2005. My involvement with the PHP development was accidental, so to say. Basically, I had a problem that I needed to solve. Started with the RAR extension. I needed to be able to stream files from a RAR archive without extracting them. And I made some modifications to both the UnRAR library and to the PHP RAR extension to allow such a thing to be done. And then I submitted my modifications back to the maintainer of the extension, Anthony, if I'm correct, and he said, "Well, I'm not using this extension anymore. You maintain it if you want." And so basically, I took over that extension this in 2009, and that involved creating an account for me. So I also had access to the bug database. And when I had nothing to do, I would go over the bugs, and sometimes I would fix one or two. And eventually, I got a PHP source Karma, and my involvement was a bit more comprehensive since then.
Okay. That is quite interesting, especially from a, you know, for a person that is not exactly from an area of a computer science, as I mentioned. Not only because for being different from a different area, but also because to understand how extensions work, how they were integrating the PHP core, and how to actually fix them, which is your original intention with the RAR extension. You need to understand C, which is not trivial. Many PHP developers do not have a C knowledge, and even more difficult is to have understanding a PHP core knowledge, but that is interesting, and hopefully that will be helpful in this podcast, because specifically on the topic of PHP optimization, it is one of the most interesting topics that many PHP developers want to know, especially how that may affect or not the way they write code. And specifically mm-hmm. in this case of that was mentioned in the article, I think we could start from there. So you can, maybe you can try to explain in simpler words for those mm-hmm. that are not so acquainted with lower level programming, but understand how that affects their programming. Can you start explaining what exactly is this optimization and how it affects people's way of programming in PHP?
Mm-hmm. The optimization that was referred in that thread was the way properties are stored in objects. So basically, before PHP 5.4, all the object properties would be in a hash table. Basically, each object instance would have an hash table where the keys would be the properties, the property names, eventually with some modifications due to visibility. But the keys would be the property names, and the values would be the value of those properties.
Just one question. Properties, you mean the variable names?
The fields of... So
functions, does it include functions or just variables?
The functions are per class. You can add functions to an object instance, so all the functions are shared between the table of the functions for an object is shared between all the objects of the same type, because all the objects of the same type have the same methods. But this is not the case with properties. An object of class A may have different properties from another object of the same class because you can dynamically add properties to objects. So you can, for instance, an SVD class doesn't have any properties by default, but you can instantiate one and can add properties after the creation. So while all the objects of the same type have the same methods, that's not the case with objects. That's not the case with the fields, with the property. So, but
that's because you can declare.
That's because you have the called dynamic properties. You can
assign new values to properties, to variables that did not exist.
Yeah, and the idea behind this optimization was that while that's the case, you can always add more properties to an object. That's the exception, not the rule. So if we can assume that a large number of objects of this certain type will only have these properties, then we can optimize both the storage of the property values for the different objects, and also optimize their access. Instead of having to do a hash table lookup to find a property, we can assign an offset to each property and access it directly without doing a hash table lookup. That's why now in PHP 5.4. accessing a property is generally faster than accessing an array element. The other part was that this also allows to do away with the hash table, and this allows to save a significant amount of memory because the hash table has a lot of overhead. There's the hash table structure, then there's all the buckets, and generally you have more buckets than elements. We can store if we can just store the property values in a simpler way, we can save a significant amount of memory that way.
Right, and that is one optimization, and for the developers that want to benefit from that optimization, from what I got, as long as they declare all variables that they will use initially.
Yeah, this also means that basically when you assign a new property to an object, you basically have a penalty that you didn't have before. So you should try to avoid doing that. If you have some class that in the constructor assigns a property that is not declared, basically all the members, all the instances of that class will be severely penalized because of that.
So, but it's okay to just declare a variable without initializing it to some value.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you just
as
have
long
to
as
declare
it is declared, that will be part of the class properties lookup table, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically, what this does when you assign a dynamic property is to revert to the old behavior. But even then, you might think, oh, okay, I have a PHP 5.3 performance. Well, you have a bit of overhead because you also have to free the previous optimized structure and add a new one. So this optimization assumes that in most cases, you won't have dynamic properties.
Yes. Well, I think right now, for those that somehow may not have got that from the article, it should be clear that they should declare all variables, whether or not they have an initial value, and they can benefit from this. From what I also got, if you do not use many objects of the same class in the current script, probably will not notice much difference, right?
You'll notice a difference if you use many objects. They don't have. I think I know what you mentioned. If you have many classes, the thing is now you don't have to store the field names on a per instance basis. That is, you don't have to. Each instance doesn't know the names of the fields. It's not stored within the object storage. So, you only have a simple array with all the values, not the field names, and that's what Rasmus in his message in the internal mailing list was testing. He was using rather large field names and noticing that these would be duplicated for each object instance, and that doesn't happen in PHP 5.4 anymore. So if you have a lot of types, obviously the names of the fields would have to be stored at least once for each class type. But some savings as long as you still have significant savings as long as you use a lot of objects. What this also means, and I've seen actually some projects like Propel to use this kind of optimization, is that since it's now very fast to access, I think it was a tree, to access field object fields. Now you have an incentive to abandon encapsulation and expose public properties for a fast access. That might make sense because, as I said, accessing object fields now is faster in general than accessing array elements.
So are you saying
and
that
it's especially much faster than using function calls. Function calls are rather expensive in PHP. Of course, in most cases, this is a micro optimization that won't matter, but it might matter.
If I got you right, are you saying that accessing public variables or public functions? I don't know if that is. Is it faster or slower than private and protected?
No, it's not faster just because they're public. It's just that the fact that they're public allows you to access them from anywhere. But in general, accessing public fields may be faster. I don't know, because you don't have to do visibility and accessibility checks. But my point was more general than that. Was that accessing a field is generally faster than access, because you don't have to for instance, you don't have to do a hash table lookup, basically. And that involves, of course, hashing the. Hashing the name of the field involves comparing then the name of the field with what's stored in the several buckets and finally getting to the value. But,
yeah. Also, talking about the name of the field, one question that one doubt that many people have, including myself, is. Does it make a noticeable difference whether you use short variable names or longer variable names, in this case for classes, or it's not something that you should be concerned?
I think that in PHP 5.4 it's not something that you should be concerned, because unless you're accessing the field names in a dynamic way, all the field names that now appear in the script file have now their hash values be computed. I don't think. It might make some difference, but it's certainly mitigated in PHP 5.4. And I remember that in that internal thread, he was concerned with using long variable names because of the memory impact, not so much the CPU impact, and because the name was being duplicated, and if it was long, it would take more memory, etc. And that's not in the memory. Side is not a concern anymore. I think that, and I hope I'm not saying anything wrong here. I think that in the CPU front, that's also at least a mitigated concern now.
Before 5.4, do you think that the variable names would make any difference, or?
Yeah, it might make some difference, because to access the fields you have to do a hash table lookup, and that involves calculating the hash of the field name and calculating the hash of a larger field name takes a little more time, but it's I don't think that's and of course there's the memory penalty, but I don't think that's a very significant penalty. But
we'll never know. There are always people that are obsessed with the minimal detail.
I think that these people
are quite interesting.
Think those people should try to use another implementation. As you know, there are faster implementations of PHP right now, so they're really concerned about performance. I mean, performance.
That would be another topic, because people sometimes do not have that option. But for those that can, maybe they should, if they are that concerned.
Yeah, I mean, the main advantage of the optimizations in PHP 5.4 is that most of them are basically free. You don't have to do a lot of changes to your codes. Actually, this change to the objects was the most significant in terms of impact in backwards compatibility, but not for user land code. But a lot of extensions had to be changed because of mm-hmm. the optimization. The other ones had a significantly less impact in terms of writing extensions.
Talking about other ones, previously before. we started recording, you mentioned that were like seven performance optimizations, right? That went to the 5.4 version.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give a brief overview of what were those and how that may impact or not the way you write your PHP code?
No, I don't think I don't think these other have a lot of impact in the way you write PHP code, but they basically we have now some caching of functions and method calls that is usually have to do a hash table lookup to find the implementation of a specific function or method, but these are now generally cached. So it allows to save some hash table lookups. I don't know how much difference it makes in the real world, but probably some small loop that runs a lot of times but that calls the same function may have some noticeable difference. I don't know. The other changes are listed in an RFC in the PHP wiki. And their performance improvements. The title is Gen Performance Improvements, and people that are interested can read it here. But they're basically empty hash table optimization. Hash tables are basically used all over PHP. PHP has a data structure, basically a double linked hash table that's used to store almost everything in the engine, and this optimization defers the creation of the hash table buckets until there's actually something to store in the hash table, and this saves both memory and also some CPU because the allocation of memory for the buckets itself implies some CPU time, implies finding basically PHP manages the memory that's given to the extension, to the engine, and that's also saved. It says here that the patch improves the speed of a benchmark, synthetic benchmark, from 431 seconds to 406. And the other benchmark, something very little noticeable. Then there's an optimization, a more difficult to explain literal tables
I can see that probably those the way those patches work probably too technical. Then maybe we can get to the point that most people want to know what is the gain? Is it memory? Is it performance? Do they need to change the way they write their code, like in the case of this?
Yeah, for these other ones, I don't think that that you can really optimize your code, take advantage of this. I mean, these are very specific. I mean, intern strings. I mean, you may basically PHP now has interns a weak form of intern strings. Basically all the strings PHP doesn't actually allow sharing strings between several variables. You may share the container of the strings, but the strings themselves are not shared, and this sometimes would cause the same string appears and several times this would cause unnecessary memory consumption, and now the engine reserves a certain amount of memory to hold strings that are found during the compilation phase. So not strings that you generate while the script runs, but only strings that are found during the compilation phase when PHP is transforming the script. Yeah, this allows also some CPU CPU savings, because when you have interned things, you can compare them using a simple pointer comparison instead of comparing them character by character, because you know that if they're equal, then they're also stored in the same place. Okay. And I think this is one of the applications that allowed for a lower memory consumption in PHP 5.4.
So what do you have any information regarding how much is saved in general, or does it depend a lot on what
you do? It depends a lot on the type of application, but generally heavily object oriented applications, all these optimizations considered, are the ones that benefit the most. The benefits I think are especially especially important in terms of memory. The performance in terms of CPU, I mean, there are several. If people people can check the FFC page and having in mind that some of the optimizations are not considered here, like I said, like the objects, the object fields, and I don't remember the other one, but all these the function pointers cache. But here we see at best an improvement in the order of 10%, maybe 20% in terms of the amount of requests that can be served. If that's important for you or not, well, depends on how many servers you have and of course of the cost that it represents to you to upgrade to PHP 5.4. I don't know. It's also something that depends a lot on the applications you have.
Well, I think most people need to always to evaluate whether first if they were trying to decide whether or not it's worth upgrading to PHP 5.4. Now they have more information that there are some benefits regarding more efficient use of memory, which eventually makes it spend less CPU to execute a regular PHP code. Of course, there are other factors that people want. When they upgrade, they need to make sure that the code will work well in the new version. So it's always good to test first.
In my experience, the major problem in migrating to 5.4 is the elimination of call time passed by reference, because sometimes that's not so easy to fix. I mean, there are other significant changes like changing the default encoding and default character set in HTML entities and the HTML special chars, but those are very easy to fix. The elimination of call time passed by reference sometimes is a bit more problematic. But I think the best reason to upgrade to 5.4 is because you'll eventually have to. I mean, PHP 5.3 is still gonna have a relatively long lifetime. It still has a year and a half left. There are always many factors, but you'll eventually have to.
We don't know. I think it took at least 4 years for PHP developers to take more drastic measures to force the PHP community to upgrade from PHP 4 to PHP 5, and we don't know yet what is the intention regarding that.
Yeah, I think
for how long they will support these older versions.
Yeah, I think though we usually see some surveys talking about the usage of PHP version, and versions that have been dead for several years have a significant share. I think those statistics have limited value. I mean, it's more or less irrelevant that some dead blog is still running PHP 4. I mean, I think what's more relevant is which versions have been targeted in recent frameworks and eventually if you look, almost everything is in 5.3 now.
Right. I think it's more problematic for custom applications that have been developed many years ago, and trying to test them if they will work on newer versions or not, it's probably tricky, because sometimes they do not have tests that cover all the code, if they have any tests at all, and the developers are afraid to upgrade and see to break it in production, even though in development it would work. And especially mission-critical applications that deal with, for instance, money or people's lives, to see their codes break in production be chaotic. And actually something that we discussed before here.
I don't think PHP is competing with COBOL and stuff like that in banking application. I mean, it's also a gamble not to upgrade publicly accessible sites, because those of 5.2, I mean, it has by now it has a lot of known public remote vulnerabilities. I mean, so right. People also have to evaluate the likelihood of being attacked and of attack being successful and the damage that it causes.
Yes, you also mentioned that in the previous episodes. Actually, any version before PHP 5.3.11 is vulnerable to that attack of the hash tables. Actually, that people that write in PHP see as arrays for the request variables, and but we know that a lot of people are still waiting to be attacked to believe that they need to upgrade. But at least we already mentioned that in the previous podcasts, and if people did not upgrade because they did not listen or because they did not understand, at least I try to spread information. But moving on with the podcast, I also want to comment briefly about another aspect that I commented in the article, which is more speculation than actually something that can be predicted about the future of PHP, eventually PHP 5, PHP 6, eventually based on a hypothetical Zend Engine 3 that would not only feature the bytecode compilation, but also a JIT compiler that would eventually compile bytecodes, Zend opcodes into native machine code that would eventually run faster. And do you think that is something that we may see or not in the future? We actually already covered that in a previous podcast, but different people have different opinions. What do you think?
I think that depending on how you see it, the future is here. I mean, hip hop now has a virtual machine with their own instructions and actually they also have the closest thing that there is to a PHP specification and of course there are also several problems that may make that not viable for most companies. But developing a new engine is something that that's a lot of work. It's not just the engine itself, but because the engine is relatively coupled with the extension, etc. It also would involve a lot of rewriting in those areas, and it's simply not something that that there's currently manpower to do. So I think that if we're going to see a different engine implementation gaining market share, it could be something from Facebook or something like that.
Right. Just for those that are listening to understand better what we are talking about, in the article I mentioned some what I call what would be something that would operate in the scope of the variable type optimizations, and on which I imagine that a future PHP version could allow developers to declare not only the names of the variables and their initial values, but also their types, and that would allow JIT compilers to do what is called type inference, which is to figure or choose the type of the variables, so they can use more optimized storage for those variables in the in native machine code, and eventually make the code faster. Well, obviously this is just a speculation. There is not, it is not based on something that I know that Zend will do, because we don't know even if Zend as resources, as you mentioned, I think, well, I'm not sure. I know that there is Dmitry Stogov that worked on a lot of those optimizations that you mentioned, but other than Dmitry, I don't know if they have many other developers working on these lower level things related with PHP engine. And I understand what you're saying, that it's probably easier to adopt Facebook EPUB compiler than actually expect that Zend develops an eventual Zend engine 3. And I can understand that it's probably not only expensive, because it requires dedicated developers to do it, but also will take a lot of time. And obviously, I understand your suggestion that it would be easier to adopt a Facebook EPUB compiler. But well, we'll see what the future will.
Well, I mean, you can already declare the types of the field, etc. I mean, you can use PHP doc for that. But
well, the idea. Well, I understand what you mean. Use the documentation to infer the types. But I think what I had in mind, it's probably something that would implicitly typecast the values when you actually declare, like this value, if you declare it for to be of some value, it will never change the value type to something else, and any assignments of that value to a variable with a declared type would always incur in a typecast, or maybe an exception in case it does not make sense to typecast it. But this is all in my imagination. I'm not even the person that is considering to mess with the PHP engine. It was sort of a proposal or a speculation, depending on how you see it. And well, I agree with you. It's probably easier to adopt Facebook, which is my also the main conclusion I get from this.
Yeah. Well, I think that. I mean, we don't even have to. I mean, that's those type of considerations. I mean, I don't think they're even relevant at this point, where we have a web and where it's certainly never gonna be a consensus in a foreseeable time for some type of type coercion of variables or fields or whatever. I mean, so I don't think that we even have to get to the merits on that case, because there are so many other considerations that have to be right. That have to be taken into account before.
Right. Well, I was not really holding any hopes that this happens, but the suggestions still stands. Maybe we will see a different future for PHP, on which there will be a closer cooperation between the Facebook developers team that worked on the EPUB compiler and
I don't really see Facebook interested in actually promoting their implementation for wider usage. I mean, I don't know if you've used, but I mean, you have to use patched libraries. I mean, it only runs in in AMD 64. I mean, only Linux. I mean, they don't really have, at least right now, a motivation making it user friendly or anything like that. That would be something necessary for a wide.
Yes, I see what you mean. Eventually, it will need more work to make it usable in all platforms that PHP is supported. And, basically, all this to say that is things are more much complicated than I was just putting it. But let's just leave the suggestion the way it is, and we'll see whether or not in a more distant future something like. It is suggested will ever happen or not. And but moving on with our podcast now, I want to just mention not extensively, but just mention that today, coincidentally, it happened to be the 13th anniversary of the PHP Classes site. For those that are not familiar to us, a site that I created in 1999, precisely on June 24, it was launched, the first public release, and the idea is to do most what it does today. It was simpler in the early days. It would just allow to publish classes, objects that allow people to reuse code developed by others, so there is this benefit of reusing code from a broader community. Fortunately, the site has grown a lot, and many things have been added on top of this platform. And nowadays, the site practically reached 1.1 million registered users, and it has over 3,300 contributing developers. Some are no longer active in the site, but their work was submitted there and still available, and everybody can benefit. And I just want to take this opportunity just to mention a few features that have been worked on the latest times. There was one feature that was released like a few months ago, but I didn't mention much about it because it is not fully done, which is basically the possibility to log in the site using your Facebook or Google or Microsoft account, so you don't have to go through the process of validating your email address. And this one feature that was asking to be implemented for many years because the registration in the site is bureaucratic, a lot of people do not like it, and the reason why I did not mention it yet in any blog post or even podcast is that I still want to support the possibility for people to log in with their Twitter accounts and as well Yahoo accounts. But since those use OAuth 1.0 version, and for now the site only supports OAuth 2, those authentication providers are not yet supported, but they will be soon because that goes in line with the more recently implemented feature, which is basically the possibility to integrate your PHP Classes account with social networks. So when new interesting components are published in the site that are considered notable, that is one of the things that may happen. And for users that want to help spreading the good content that is published in the site, the site will be able to integrate with initially just Facebook, but I will also support Twitter later, have posts submitted to their timelines, timeline actually in the case of Facebook, so they can help spreading about the good content, not only packages but also interesting blog posts and also the actual activity of the users. So all they do you need to do is to go in this page that I'm showing here, which will be linked from the options page that shows the list of the social networks to which you have your account linked. And in this case, I already have here linked the my Facebook account. So whenever there are interesting notifications about new content, there are those notifications will be posted in my timeline. And below there are some options that allow you to control which content you allow to be published in your timeline or not. In general, I recommend that people leave all these options set, because the more interesting content is posted in your timeline, the more users will begin to be attracted to the site to benefit from this content. And there is also a small detail regarding the initiative of the friends of the site, which is basically an initiative that gives credit to users that bring more new subscribers to the site. And in this case, when content is posted in the social networks using this integration that I just mentioned, you will be credited for any users that you bring, and you can raise in the friends of the site ranking. All this was already mentioned about the friends of the site, was already mentioned in previous episodes and blog posts, but I will mention again in a blog post that by now it is not yet published. I plan to publish it later today, but when you watch this podcast, it will be already be available. And this is just to mention a few things that have been done recently in the site. And as you may see, all this is to increase the community, the size of the people that the size of the community that users that benefit from the site and also contribute to the site, and eventually make the site better. But other than that, I have also other features, to very interesting features to implement specifically this year. One of them, I would not like to comment much about it in detail, because between now and then things may change. And but very briefly, I can say that the main idea is to give more give more exposure, give more evidence to users that contribute more, not only by sending classes, but providing all types of interactions that can make the site better. And basically what I plan, actually it is already planned, it's just waiting to be implemented right after I finish this integration with social networks. There will be a sort of a privileges system that will give more privileges inside the site to users that somehow contribute more in many aspects. That is all that I'm going to say about this for now, because there are several things that are not yet fully defined, and but I'll get back to that in future episodes. And for now, I just recommend that if you want to know more about this, just go and read the blog post article that will be published already by the time that you'll be listening to this podcast. So now moving on with our podcast, we are going to move on to one of the final sections of the podcast, on which we comment on the latest classes published in first in JS Classes site. As you may know, it's the broader site of PHP classes, on which many developers are already contributing with many components, in this case written in JavaScript, which are always useful to PHP developers that also need to have some JavaScript in their sites to make them more usable. And recently, as I mentioned also in previous podcasts, there was this initiative to encourage more users to send more components to the JS Classes site, so you can start also the innovation ward in the JS classes site. But for now, we are just coming some about the latest components. Gustavo, can you start off mentioning some of the latest components that you thought would be interesting to comment?
Sure. First, let me just like I told you, I'm not exactly a regular user of these sites, but
okay.
I think a few things that I think would be interesting would be some sort of package, some sort of integration with package management, like so people can easily install install this component, for instance, using Pear or Composer. Think that
we're going first to start to buy JS classes.
Yeah, sure. That wouldn't apply to JS. Yeah, I would pick here the busy JS. Let me just. The busy chest is a component that allows to show design chess board representations using several standard ways of.
Can you share the window? Can you share your window, the browser window, to show the class?
In that, I'm clicking screen share, but it's not exactly working.
Hmm. Okay, let me try to share here.
Yeah, it's when better because
it will switch.
Yeah, I'm clicking here, but nothing's happening. So I thought
it's Murphy's law.
Yeah, I thought it was the first time I clicked share desktop, and I thought it was working, but then you told me it wasn't. So yeah, that's the page.
Yeah, this one is the. Busy chess from Gabor Martini
from Hungary. Yeah, of course, the audience here is limited to sites about chess. Maybe some of those newspapers with chess puzzles, I think it's an interesting component.
This one. Let me see if I can give you more details. Basically, what it does is to just show the board of the. Of a chess game, and it also manages the position of the pieces and each turn that each player does to move on in the game. I think it is interesting. I think the only thing it does not do is to actually play for one
now
of the players, so it could
it has no it has no AI but
right.
that
would be the difficult
scope.
Part but I think it's still useful. Okay, other than that, do you any other class?
The weather is a rather more simple component country flag, which basically is from Dixon Santiaz Ban from Cuba, and basically it's an image with several flags and a way to convert to other country names to a certain flag by using CSS rules to show the correct flag in the sprite.
Right, it uses what they call CSS sprites, which are, as you mentioned, is basically a set of images contained in a single image, and it just changes the position of the rectangle that will clip from the wall sprite to show the right part of the image. In this case, are flags of countries. And although this is a very simple object, I think it may be useful for many sites, including PHP class and JS classes, that need to show flags of countries, as you may see here. And so, despite it being simple, kudos to Dixon for his contribution. And on my part, I also would like to comment on a couple of classes. Actually, it's more accurate to call them objects in JavaScript, because JavaScript does not have classes, but I think people are getting used to call them classes. And one of those that I wanted to comment first is one from Ansel Hartman, a regular contributor of both JS classes and PHP classes society, is from Switzerland. And basically what this component does is to position elements of the page automatically in a way that is relative either to the other elements or actually the whole page. For instance, if you have a page and you scroll the page, you want to make certain page element always visible, you can make it stick to a relative position of the page. Could be a center, could be one edge, and it will follow even if you move the page or resize the page. And it can do also relatively to other page elements. And this is not exactly a trivial implementation, but I can see it as its uses. So kudos to Ansel for yet another great contribution. And talking about the great contributions, I also would like to mention one that is really awesome. Let me see where I have opened it or not. I think I did not open it, but this one, Titanium Gestures. Basically, this is a follow-up class of another class also published by Arthur Sossin. Arthur Sossin, needless to say, for those that have been listening to previous episodes and following the site, they is the top contributor of the site with many, many very good objects. And this time he contributed with an object that is now adapted to work with the Titanium framework. For those not familiar with Titanium, it's basically a framework that allows you to develop applications for mobile devices. And these devices can be either Android or iOS or Windows mobile based. And in this case, what this component does, it's the same of another component that you already published, named Gestures. But the previous component was meant to work on web pages and was meant to follow, to detect shapes that the user was drawing on the screen using the mouse pointer. But in this case, the object Titanium Gestures is meant to work with touch events on the screen of a device, so it can detect shapes that the user is drawing. For instance, can detect it can make it detect squares or rectangles or other shapes. And if the user draws those shapes with the mouse pointer, he will be able to actually detect those pointers, regardless if you draw those shapes in a small area or in a larger area. The component is quite bright in detecting these shapes. And kudos again to Arthur Sullivan for yet another great contribution. There are many more contributions to talk about, not only from artists but from other developers this month. But unfortunately, we do not have time. Actually, we just wanted to comment on a few components. But the main components that we want to comment this month, as in other in previous months, are components that were nominated to the PHP Innovation Award in this last regular section of the podcast. This time we are going to comment on the winners, the nominees and winners that were of classes that were published in April. So they were nominated in May, and users have been voting on them. And lately, early in the June, the develop the results are announced, and the winners were listed here in the winners page. Gustavo, can you start mentioning a couple of those six that you thought would be more interesting to comment about?
Yeah, sure. Let me just open the page here. Now the button has started to work again, so I'm going to give it a try.
Okay. Go in fear.
Okay.
You know, on the winners, right?
Yeah. Well, I mentioned the first one. It's also APK Parsing. It also it is from Ufan Baris from Turkey, and it's basically an application that can dump some information about APK files, which is the package format used in Android. Of course, the interest here is basically limited to sites that provide provide such files, possibly some repository, and you want to show some details about the file before someone downloads it. But I think it's well suited for that niche, basically. But basically, I found it interesting because my involvement with PHP basically started also via a repository, and I wanted to show details of RAR files and allow easy access to its contents. And this is basically also a similar task where you want to show right. details about the archives you have for your visitors.
Right, I think APK APK files are in practice zip files, right?
I'm not sure, but probably.
Yeah, I think
Debian format are if I gzip out, I'm not sure if this is zip, but jar files are zip files. So
I see.
I'm not sure, possibly.
The PHP file is also tar-gzip or
Well, it supports several compression methods. One of the supports both of those. Yes, it also supports bzip. So basically, it's mostly zip, bzip, and gzip.
Yeah, that's probably more relevant than APK for PHP developers. But okay, moving on. What other class would you like to mention to comment about?
The other I'd mention would be CSS Fix from Artur Sozins from Latvia, and it's basically a component that converts some standard CSS how do you call them CSS
definition or style sheet?
They have a specific name, but I can't remember it now. Basically, the left part of the colon.
the properties.
Yeah, the properties. Yes. Some browsers support prefixed properties before they are standardized, and what this extension allows is to convert some properties to other browser-specific properties that have the same effect. And I think this can be useful to build more interoperable websites.
Right. This tries to solve that problem of, as you mentioned, there are some certain properties that are not standardized yet, but certain browser developers implement them on their browsers. But each
The general advice given is that you should use when you use the prefixed properties, you should also use them unprefixed in case they're standardized in the future. And that has its problems. Maybe it's never standardized. Maybe standardized with slightly different semantics. I think this could be useful in some context.
Yeah. Yes. I think I can see the purpose of that, at least for a while. While those properties are not widely adopted in newer versions of the browsers, I think this class makes sense to adapt your CSS style sheets without being concerned much about your browser, the current browser that the user is running on. And okay. On my part, I also would like to comment on a couple of interesting classes. I would like to start first with this image embedder class by Carl Holtz. Basically, what this class does is to take an HTML page that has, let's say, eventually has images. Usually there are URLs pointing to images that are in remote servers, but if for some reason you need to download that page and include the images in a single file, there is this possibility to use the data URLs for in the place of the remote HTTP or whatever is used to reference those images in remote servers. So the image gets embedded in the same file as the HTML, and this can be useful for viewing HTML pages offline without having the problem of not seeing the actual images that may be needed. And this seemed to be a great idea, and kudos to Carl Holtz from Canada for sharing a solution to this problem. Another class that I wanted also to mention is some people may say, oh no, yet another capture class. Why this one is nominated to be for the Innovation Award? Actually, this class written by Nguyen Duc Thuan from Vietnam. What it does basically is to change the usual way that the capture challenges are presented. Usually, you just see an image, and you have to guess. You have to determine what is the text that is in the image, and in this case, this capture solution is a bit different, because not only it challenges the user to determine what is the text or the information that is on the image, but also connect it to one of several possible solutions that respond to the challenge. And this is somewhat different than the usual capture solutions, although by now most people may have adopted one or another capture solution. They may also want to consider this capture from object from Nguyen to provide eventually more robust capture in their sites. That it's probably harder to break. We all know that captures eventually are breakable, so it's a matter of how hard and how difficult it can be to actually break the capture that is presented to the user. Well, there were a couple of classes nominated this month, one by Marcus Brazis, a simple complex type builder, and another named PHP Dialogue from Michel Brodoloni, but unfortunately we do not have more time. I just like to thank Gustavo for his presence this time. I know he's in a hurry to watch the Euro Soccer Cup games, and Croatia. Although Portugal is not playing today, Portugal is already qualified to the semi-finals. We don't know if Portugal will make it. We are cheering.
Yeah, doubtful.
You know, maybe you can get a pleasant surprise. I mean, us Portuguese, but we don't know. We have by now Portugal did not play yet with Spain, so we don't know yet if Portugal will overcome that challenge. But this is just to end this podcast on a positive, hope note. I'd like to thank Gustavo for his presence and for his insight regarding these very interesting topics related to PHP optimization. And I think on my part, that is all for now. I don't know if you have some final remarks.
No, it's been a pleasure to be here, and the best luck for your projects.
Okay. Would you like to leave any comments for any information regarding your contacts in case somebody wants to ask you more details about anything?
Sure. They can send me an email or find me on EFNet on
IRC.
On IRC. If they search for my name. My email is CITAPHRACT@php.net. My nickname in AFNet varies because of the 8-character limit, and because Cataphract has 9 characters. But it's something like that. I'm usually in PHP.Pekl in AFNet. So they can reach me there.
Okay. Thank you again for your presence, and that's all for now. Bye.